Today's shir is Masechta Ksubos Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Shtayim Chsumim Al Shtar. We continue discussing Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter. When we do believe people, we continue discussing particularly the Sugya of Kim Shtaris, a verification of a Shtar, how it's accomplished and how it's not accomplished. So the Braisa teaches us, Shnayim Chsumim Al Shtar, two individuals were signed on a Shtar, Umeisun, they passed away, Ubao Shnayim in a Shuk, and two people from the street come and say, Yudanish Ksav Yodim, we could testify and verify that this is indeed their signature, Aval Nusim Hayu, we could also at the same time say that these individuals were disqualified, they were coerced, Ktanim Hayu, they were Ktanim, Psua Eidus Hayu, they were disqualified Eidim. Talochi is Hare Elu Namonim. The second pair of witnesses are trusted to say this. Peshasa Peshita. We have no other way of independently verifying that this was indeed the case. And therefore, since they're the only source to say that this is their signature, we also at the same time accept when they say that there were problems with these witnesses. Machloikis Rishonim, what happens now? Some Rishonim say, since we have the second pair of witnesses who are saying that the first pair were disqualified, so the shtar is not a verified, certified shtar, and it's ripped up. Other Rishonim suggest we don't rip it up, because the only reason we're accepting what they say is because we have no one else. So we have a Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter. But if, let's say, other witnesses will come and verify these signatures, and then the Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter is no longer here, so the shtar may be a good shtar, and we're not so quick to rip it up. There's a third opinion in the Rishonim that says the following. If, as Al Gemara is indicating, the first pair of witnesses, the pair of witnesses that actually signed the shtar, passed away. So these Rishonim explained the most likely people to come and verify signatures are the people who signed themselves. Here that's not happening, they died. That's why when this new pair of Eidus come and say that it was their signature, but that's why we'll rip up the shtar. But in a situation where a pair of witnesses come and say that this was the signature of these Eidim, but these Eidim are not dead, they're just not here, then we would not rip up the shtar, waiting that this first pair will come and tell us that it was their signature without any problems. This is in a case, continues the Braisa, where this pair of witnesses were the only source of verification to the signatures of the shtar. However, says the Braisa, Vim yesh Eidim shiksav yodim huza, if we independently are aware that this is, we have different Eidim that could say that this was their signature, or we already are able, and we'll discuss this more in the shir later, Mitzvah Shem, to able to verify this signature by comparing it to another document, Mishtar Shekarlov Ir Vuchsud Bezdin, where that other shtar was challenged and verified, then the halacha is Ein Elun Amonim. So the second pair no longer has their Pesha Asa, Pesha Hiter, and therefore, Magbirim Bakishtar Ma'alya, we use this second shtar, we rely on the shtar as a completely valid shtar. Tosis makes a very important distinction. And Tosis says, it makes a difference what exactly is the second pair of Adam saying. Tosis says that they're not speaking about the character of the witnesses as it is today. Because if they were coming in and saying that there are two individuals, Reuven and Shimon, who happen to be the signatories on a shtar, who are posel, the Rishon, whatever psul they have, why wouldn't they be believed? Taisa says that Al Gemara is referring to a situation where these people are dead. And they're not speaking about the people per se, they're speaking about the shtar. And since the shtar could independently be verified without these new pair of witnesses, that's why they're not believed. Tosfos then asks a question, something that we've discussed previously. If we're saying there's a difference in what this second pair of Edom is saying, that if they're speaking about the individuals, then they are believed. If they're speaking about the shtar, they're not believed. So why, when they speak about the shtar, are they not believed with a migui that he could have spoken about the individuals? So Tosfos repeats, and he actually explains it a little more here than he said in the other places, that we never say a migui with Edom. Whenever we want to apply the concept of migui, we only can apply it to an individual, not to a pair of witnesses. And Tosfos explains the svara. It's a very nice svara. Tosfos says as follows. I come and say something. So migui says, I could have said something better. Since I said what I said, it must be the truth. But that's only when I'm speaking for myself. When two individuals come, Edom aren't supposed to collaborate with each other. So we can't say that this Eid said this and he could have said something better, and I could have said something better, because we're not allowed to collaborate with each other. So what we said is because we said it, because we had to say it, because we can't collaborate. That's why we never say migui with Edom. A very important rule in Hilchas Migui, as we learn through the Sugyas, you can never say migui, Tosfos says it many times, by Edom. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos' approach to this Gemara, and they say it makes no difference what the Edom, what this new pair of Edom is saying, if this shtar can be independently verified. The Bryce is teaching us, at least according to Rav Sheshis' understanding, the second pair is never believed. Vamai, ask the Gemara, why is the second pair not believed? Shouldn't it be a situation of trei v'trei? And now the Gemara introduces us to a concept which we find very often in Shas, that when you have two opposing pairs of witnesses contradicting each other, which is a situation of achosha, where second pair contradicts the first pair, it's a standstill. Here, we're ignoring the second pair. We're saying we have the shtar, we were able to independently verify, certify the shtar, and the fact that the second pair are saying that there was a problem with them is ignored. Why? Why are these second Edom ignored? So to understand the Gemara's answer, we have to familiarize ourselves with two concepts. One is what we just called achosha, which is when a second pair of Edom contradict the first pair. And the other concept is a concept of hazoma. Hazoma means if a pair of witnesses come and say, we saw this event take place, this and this event, this and this place, on this and this day, and now another pair come and say, you couldn't have. Imanu Yisim, you were with us in this other place. The Torah tells us, and it's a chiddush, that the second pair is believed. And the halach is the first pair becomes Edom Zomimin. The Torah not only tells us that they become Edom Zomimin, the halach is, v'sisim loy kashazomim lasis la'achiv. That they, whatever they were trying, or whatever was going to be the punishment to the person that they set testimony against, that will happen to them. Hazama and Chasha aren't the same. But now comments Rav Sheshis. Why don't we believe the second pair? Kazois Ameris, Hachosha Tchilas Hazamihi. Every case of Achosha, and this is the way the Ritva explains the Gemara, every case of Achosha has to be similar in din, or the case, the way it's brought to court, has to be treated the same way as Hazama is treated. And just like by Hazoma, the halacha is k'shem she'em ezimin se'edim lefneim. There is a halacha which we'll discuss later more in today's shir, that Hazoma could only take place in front of the witnesses. Kach eim achishim ezedim el befneim. Hachosha could only take place in front of the first pair. Given the situation that our Gemara is referring to, as we started the shir today, this first pair of witnesses that signed the shtar are dead. So they certainly can't be here. So since they can't be subject to Hazama, as the Ritva teaches us, Rav Sheshis is teaching us that Hachosha is treated like Hazama, and therefore they're not subject to Hachosha. Amalei Rav Nachman. Says Rav Nachman, I can't understand you, Rav Sheshis. Ila have a kamon. Let's say the first pair of witnesses were alive. So according to your line of reasoning, says Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshis, we could have a Hachosha trial, because they're here. The only difficulty here is the fact that they're dead. If they were alive, we could have a Hachosha case. umachishim hu havelai chosha. So we would have a case. Let's think this case out together. The first pair of witnesses signed the shtar. They're still alive. They come to Beis Din and they say, we indeed signed the shtar. This is our signature. Everything is fine. The second pair of witnesses come and say, you apostle or any other disqualification as we learned at the beginning of Shir. What's the case? Trey. And everything is left status quo. He will have a kamon. If the first pair of witnesses were still alive, or machishin lehu, and now the second pair came and did achosha to them, so it would be a legitimate achosha. Have a hashgacha, have a achosha, have a mishgichin behu. We wouldn't just accept what the first pair, the pair that signed the shtar, say. Why? Because it would be a legitimate havelei edus mucheshes. Hashta, now let's analyze, says Rav Nachman. The lesna, these people aren't here. They're dead. Dila havel kamon, then there's a real chance that if they were here, they would agree with the second pair. Dilma have a maidelhu. They might have agreed to the first pair and said to this new pair and say, you know, when you say that we were disqualified, we were indeed disqualified. So now, because they're not here, and there's this real possibility that they might have agreed to the second pair, they're not going to be trusted, and we ignore them. El Amar Rav Nachman. Therefore, Rav Nachman says that even in a case where the shtar could be independently verified, but now we have a new pair of edim that come and say there was a problem with these edim, we are in a situation of uki trei lahadi trei. It becomes a situation of trei v'trei, and as we said earlier, uki v'manu v'cheskes mari, everything remains status quo, and the shtar cannot be used to make the loiva pay the loan. Everything remains status quo. And say the Rishonim, that's how Rav Nachman will interpret the Braisa, that's what the Braisa means. There's a Gevaldige Kasha that the Rajba asks. And it goes back to something we discussed earlier in the week. The Rajba asks, the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps if the first peer were alive, and they would come, and they would agree with what this new peer is saying. Ask the Rajba, how could they agree? Didn't we learn that Eidim HaChsuma al-Shtar, Eidim that are signed in a shtar, Kimisha Nakra Edusim Abezdin, it's as if they already said testimony, and the halach is, as we learned earlier in the week, that Yud Ches of the days, Kivin Shehigit Shuvein Achayzeru Magid, they can't retract the testimony, so how could we say that if they were alive, they could change the testimony? Kivin Shehigit. Says the Rajba, Bichidish. When is there a halacha of Kivin Shehigit Shuvein Achayzeru Magid? That's in a normal situation. We have Eidim, whether they testified orally, or whether they testified because they were on a shtar, and now they want to come later and modify the testimony, can't do that. But here we're not dealing with such a situation, because we have this new pair of Adam, who are already saying that there's something that is amiss here, that's saying that the shtar wasn't written. They don't want any. So then the case, so to speak, is reopened anyway. It's not reopened because of the first peer. It's reopened because of this new peer, and then the halacha kivin shehigit shuvein achayzeru magid doesn't apply, and even the first peer can now modify and alter their testimony. Very bechiddush, but it's mamish in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, well, we just said that in a situation of trei v'trei, we just leave everything status quo. Says the Gemara, we have such a situation, mida dechava and nichsa de barshatcha, like in the situation of the barshatcha. And as Rabbi Kiva Ege explains, why does the Gemara, it's a nice story, halachically at least, this incident that the Gemara reports with barshatcha, but why does the Gemara, it has nothing to do with our Gemara, why is the Gemara bringing it in? Says Rabbi Kiva Ege, gevaldige pshat. He says, we know that in halacha, when there's a standstill, there's a number of ways of approaching the situation. Many times the halacha tells us that if we're at an impasse, yachloiku, we just split it down the middle. Here we're not doing that. Here we're just leaving everything status quo. So the Gemara wants to prove that that is exactly what we should do, that in a situation of trei v'trei, we should not say yachloiku, rather we should say standstill, status quo. How do I know that that's the right way of approaching such a situation? The story of Barshatya proves it. Because Barshatya was an individual who was sometimes sane and sometimes he was insane. A sane person can enter into business transaction. An insane person is a shaita. So many times we learned it's impassable. Says the Ramita to have it next to the Bashatya. There was this property of the Bashatya. The Bashatya Zovin Nikse. Bashatya sold some property. So some said that he was insane, and therefore the deal is not valid. And two other witnesses said, he was fine, and therefore the sale is a good sale. So we have a tray. We leave it at a standstill. So we leave the properties in the possession of the Barashatya. Taisa says that this is only relevant when we're talking about real property, about real estate, not when we're talking about metaltlin. There's also a very big discussion, which we don't really have time to enter. What would be the halacha? The Gemara is paskening that we leave everything status quo, and since we don't know, was the Barashatya at that time a shaita and the sale is invalid, was he fine, the sale is fine, we leave it status quo. What would be the halacha if the person who bought it was typhus, grabbed the property? So now he's the one that's holding on to the property. He's the mukhsik. Do we leave it that way or not? So certainly all the Rishonim say that if after this tray of a tray was established, this person goes and grabs it, it's too late to be typhus. The question is that the Rishonim discuss if he was typhus it before Besdin Paskin that this is a situation of tray betray, will that tfisa be effective or not? Achlokas Rishonim. However, says the Gemara, V'loya Morin, when is this psak correct? Ela de Islay Chazoka de Avasei. Because the Gemara is addressing a fundamental issue. We're saying that everything is status quo. That means we have to say that it belongs to the Barashatya. So how can I be sure that the Barashatya owns it? Maybe when he bought it, he was also a shaita. Just like when he sold it, he was a shaita. He bought it as a shaita. So if he inherited this from his parents, so to inherit something, you don't have to be smart or stupid. You just have to have luck. So he inherited, then it's certainly his. Avol lesle chazok davisa. If it wasn't something that he had from his parents, Aminon, we have to assume kshushoita zoven. He sold it, he bought it as a shaita, shaita zoven, and he sold it as a shaita. So Rishonim ask an obvious question. If now we're saying that we have to be concerned that he bought it as a shaita, and therefore it never really became his, so then maybe the original owners should get it back. So Rishonim say, indeed, that's the halacha. The halacha is if now the original owners come and say, you know, the Bezdin's telling us that we could be concerned that you were a shaita and you bought it, we want it back, they would get it back. The Gemara is referring to a situation where they didn't come with that claim. But were they to make that claim, even though this deal took place who knows how many years ago, they would have a legitimate claim. There's another shaila that Rishonim ask, very fundamental shaila based on the Gemara we learned yesterday. The Gemara we learned yesterday says that chazaka, that, just to use the exact words of the Gemara, that there's a chazaka, ena edim chosim l'shtar elm kei nas begodl. People are careful to make sure that the shtar, that the, all the parties to the shtar are parties who can make a shtar. So why don't we rely on that chazak and say that when the shatya bought it, he was not a shaita? So they say a very interesting halacha. This halacha that we say that when a shaita, that we are careful that the person who bought it wasn't a shaita, is only to the person who is the lender of the money. Only the person who is the seller. The Edom aren't necessarily careful to watch that the buyer is a shaita. Here the buyer was the question, and therefore that chazaka doesn't apply. There's another machlokes Rishonim. The Gemara is saying here as follows. The Gemara discussed two situations. One was a situation where the shaita was a buyer or a seller, and the Gemara is saying is that a shaita cannot be a buyer or a seller. The Gemara clearly can says that a shaita could be an inheritor. What's going to halacha could be a shaita? Could the shaita be a person that is mekabel matana, that he could get a gift? To get a gift, you don't need to have das. You just have to be able to accept it. Some Rishonim say that a shaita is qualified to receive a gift. So therefore, if the Gemara, if the case was, would a Shaita receive the property as a gift, it would be similar to where he received it as an inheritance, and then it's certainly his. Others say that to be makabel matana, to receive a gift, there has to be a certain level of das, a certain level of intelligence that a Shaita doesn't have, and he's not able to be the recipient of a gift. Continues the Gemara, what we discussed earlier. Amar Avua, Eim Azimus Eidim El Bafneim. Hazama has to take place in front of the Eidim, Umachishens Eidim Shla Bafneim. But Hachasha, unlike what we learned earlier, the Gemara, does not have to take place in front of the Eidim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vazama Shla Bafneim Nei Da Hazama Loi Hava. As we learned, Hazama has to take place in front of the witnesses, Hachasha Mi Hava. Which means as follows. If two people walk into Beis Din and say, you know, Reuven and Shimon said testimony that this and this happened and this and this time and this place, and we know that Reuven and Shimon couldn't have said that testimony. Imanohu Yisim, they were with us. So if Reuven and Shimon aren't there, they're not considered Muslim. To what degree are they not considered Muslim? That they don't have all the halachas of Hazama. But that it should be a chosha, and we should have a situation of trey v'trey that they have, that happens even if the original pair of Edom aren't here. And here too we have an interesting machlokes rishayim. Because as I said earlier, when Edom are Muslim, actually two things happen. One is they're subject to the punishment of a sisim like a shazam and lasis lachiv, and one is that they become disqualified. We ignore their testimony. So everybody agrees that we won't give them a punishment. That if hazam is done, without the original pair here, we can't do Hazama. There is a Machloikas Rishonim. There is a Machloikas Rishonim. Do they become disqualified? Some Rishonim say, no, that's part of being Muslim, and we can't really do Hazama here. Others say that they can't get punished, but they can get completely disqualified. Amamar. So the Brice that we began the Shia with today said, and this talks to how we do Kiyum, how we do verification, Im Yesh. If witnesses could come in and say that this was their signature, or were able to compare this document to another document, mishtash karl of error, from a document that was challenged, v'hochsik bebezdin, and was then verified, then ain't a monim, because the shtar is already considered verified. Says the Gemara, a very important comment, karl of error in, like karl of error loy. What the Gemara is teaching us is, what kind of a document can be used as a source document to prove the verification of signatures? Only a document that was challenged and then verified. So the way some Rishonim learned the Gemara is to be read as it says, that the only legitimate document that could be used is a document that was challenged and verified. Let's say we'll have a document, Bechidish. According to this understanding, let's say we'll have a document that was verified, but not based on a challenge. It was Mekoyim. It would not be acceptable. Why? Because there's a concern that that Kiyum wasn't really done properly because it was not based on a challenge. However, the halach is not that way. The halach is that we assume that once a shtar is Mekoyim, even if the basis, the initiation of the Kiyum wasn't because of any challenge, it's considered an excellent document to be accepted. There's a riff that says even a bigger chiddush, a girs in the riff, it's not the girs of our Gemara, that says as follows. A shtar that wasn't challenged, kiyum is required to make it a good shtar. But let's say we'll have a shtar that was challenged, and then the challenge was refuted. But not because they went through a kiyum process. It was refuted without kiyum. That shtar will be a good shtar, even though it's not Mekoyim. Because the fact they were able to rebuff the challenge makes it a good shtar. Again, that's the girsa of the rift that Al Gemara doesn't seem to have. Says the Gemara Masayla Ravasi. This corroborates what Ravasi says. Domer Ravasi, a Mekayim shtar. We cannot use a shtar for Kiyim. El Mishtar Shekarl of Iror for Huchsuk Bebezdin. Says Amrin Hadoi, and the way most Rishonim explain Hadoi, Nadoi is speaking to the following case. We have a document with signatures on it, signatures of Edom. We don't have any other documents that are Mekoyim. Is there a way of verifying the shtar? Says the Gemara, Ein mekayim shtar el mishtei ksubis. If you have two ksubis, oy mishtei sodis, or you'll have two documents that speak to a sale of a property, and these fields that the buyer is sitting on, those fields, going back to what we learned earlier in the week, for 3 years with no mechah, ubishayfi, that nobody challenged those shtaris, even though those shtaris are not mekuyim, even though those shtaris are not mekuyim, those shtaris could be used as source documents for kiyim. And the Rishonim make a number of points. Number one, there's a machlokes Rishonim. When the Gemara speaks about ksubis, do we have to have that these couples were married 3 years also? Or is ksubis, as long as we see the couples married, even though they're not 3 years, if we see that these ksubis are good ksubis, we can rely on it. Machlokes Rishonim, most Rishonim seem to learn that by ksubis we don't need 3 years. What is the word b'shufi? So we said shufi means with nobody complaining. What's the basis of the word? You see it many times in Shas. So I saw what it stands is, Beloy shum yira upachad. Nobody complained against it. Say to Rishonim also, when is this? This is only two types of shtaris that the Gemara mentioned as good shtaris to use as source documents of verification: a ksuba and a bill of sale. What about if we'll have two shtaris that are loan documents? Two loan documents, not verified. So Rishonim say the loan documents cannot be used as source documents because there's always a concern that that loan document is also a false document. By the ksuba, we see the Baruch Hashem married. By the field, we see the buyers on the field. By a loan, who says that that's a true statement? One more machlokes Rishonim, fascinating gemaras. One more statement that Rishonim discussed. We're saying that you need two documents. Do the two documents have to be from two different people? Or if the two documents are coming from the same individual, is that acceptable? Most Rishonim say, as long as there are two documents that were not contested, even though they're coming out from one individual, that's a good source. However, says Rav Simi Barashi, one of the documents acceptable only if they are being given by an outsider. If the person who's litigating is the one that brings these two documents, then they're not acceptable. Loi. Ask the Gemara, why, if they're being given by the litigant, are they not acceptable? So the Gemara, very simple. Maybe he forged these documents. Says the Gemara, so even if the litigant isn't the one that's presented the documents, his friend is present. The friend had the documents. Maybe he went to his friend's house and saw the signatures and forged them. Dilma Ozav Chaza, he went and studied the signatures and then Ozav Zayif. Says the Gemara, Kula Haile Lots Mechavin. To be able to forge a signature that well, that I go to your house and look at the signature and have to remember it and then use it in my house, that's difficult. If I have the original document at home, where can I mamish copy it? That could be done. Otherwise, we don't have to be concerned. Taisus also teaches us that all of this Gemara is only relevant when Bezdin can't really know if it's a forgery or not. But sometimes you see a signature, and Bezdin is Bezdin, and they could truly see that this is not a forgery, they have a tfias ayin, then that could be the basis for a verification under all circumstances. Now, sometimes somebody makes a letter. That's the way the Mefarshim explained, the Paiskim explained, in a very unique way, that you could see that unless that's the way you sign your name, nobody else knows how to do it that way, that could be used as a proof that it's a true signature. Tana Rabbanim. Kaisav Adam Aydos Al-Ashtar, Umeir Elel Afilach Kamashonim. The Gemara discusses a very simple situation. You know, we all start forgetting. So I was asked to witness an event, and how am I supposed to remember many years later what happened? Sometimes we have a problem remembering what happened yesterday. So how am I supposed to remember all these years later? So what I do is, I write this down at home. I was at your wedding, and they were mechabed me to be an aide, and I write it down for my records. So if I ever need to, if I'm ever called, I could have a record of recollection. And like Rishonim point out, this is not a valid shtar, because it wasn't written with all the halachas of a shtar. It's just a piece of paper to remind myself of what I did. So the shtar cannot be given. Testimony cannot be given that way. The halacha is testimony has to be given orally. Although, I did see in the Poskim two situations where the Poskim will rely on written testimony, even though halachically we need oral testimony. One is by an aguna, that if we're trying, as we learned at the end of Masechet Yevamos, when we have a situation of aguna, there we can rely on a document. But there's a place can make a very important point. We have to make sure that the document was written by a Jew, not by a guy, because a guy is not a kosher aid. And another point that another situation is when it's a dine mominus, if the person, the aid, is an Adam Choshev, he's a big Talmud Chacham, and it's disparaging to make him come to Beis Din, then we could rely on written testimony. In fact, I saw a story where the stipler was once able to say testimony in the Din Torah, and the Rabbanim from the Beis Din certainly did not want to make the stipler come to the Beis Din, so they came to him. And he said to him, you took away a mitzvah from me. I could have come to Beis Din saying, hey, this, it's a mitzvah to go. And now when you came to me, you took that mitzvah away from me. But I guess there are Rabbanim that don't want to go to Beis Din. Say the Gemara. Says the Gemara. So we have this piece of paper to remind me what I saw. So Funa says, to rely on the document, I can't rely on the document unless I remember the basic facts myself, and then I can use the document to fill in. Even if I don't remember what it says in the document, I can rely on it. So, it's simple glance, says the Beis Yaakov. It seems Rav Yochanan is the Mekel versus Rav Huna. Rav Huna says you have to remember. And Rav Yochanan says you don't have to remember. Says the Beis Yaakov, that's not what the Gemara means. Rav Huna says, if you remember the basic story, you don't remember the details, you can rely completely on the Shtar. Rav Yochanan says, you don't have to remember anything, you can look at the Shtar. But Rav Yochanan is machmer that once you look at the Shtar, it has to jar your memory. And if it doesn't jar your memory, and you're relying just on what it says, it's not adequate. Omer Rava, Shema Minom Rav Yochanan, Hani Trei Beit Trei Diyadi Sedusa. You have two individuals that knew Eidus. Manchi Chad Minayu, and one of them forgot. Mitkat Chad L'Chavrei, the other one could jar his memory. Ibrailhu, Atzmai Mai. So the way most Rishonim explain is, could the litigant, could the Baal Din be the one to remind you? Amar Afila Rav Chaviva Amar Afila Atzmai. Even he could remind you. Mabarei Rav Ashi Amar Atzmaloi. Why? Because we're concerned that since he's one of the sides of the Din Torah, he's going to remind you too much. The Hilchasa Atzmaloi, that the litigant cannot be the one to remind you. However, it's Tzuvim Rabbanim, and here we have a Machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim say Tzuvim Rabbanim means if the aid is a Talmud Chacham, who we can assume will not allow himself to be swayed, and until he actually remembers it himself, he won't say, yeah, now I remember. I feel atzmai. Others say that it means the Baal Din. If the Baal Din is a Talmud Chacham, then we could be comfortable that the Talmud Chacham will not, even though he has something to gain here, will stay honest and will not say more than what actually happened. The Ramah says that generally in halacha we say that there's no such a thing as a Talmud Chacham anymore. The Talmud Chacham that Shas requires. However, the Knesset HaGedoyla says that here we can rely on a Talmud Chacham, and the Riaz explains, because here the Gemara doesn't mean Talmud Chacham in the traditional sense of Talmud Chacham, the person who knows how to learn. Here the Gemara means Talmud Chacham in the way of a Yerushamayim. A Yerushamayim who will remain honest, we could trust, and the person who's not Yerushmaim, we can't trust. The Mefarshim also discuss, so Pashat Pshat Gemara is, as we learned, that if the aid is not a Talmud Chacham, he cannot be reminded by one of the Baalei Din. What's going to be halacha about the family members of the Baalei Din? Could they remind him? Is it only the person that's on trial himself, or his family? So the Shvus Yaakov says, his wife and children cannot be the people to remind him. Ishte kegufoi. His children are his children. But other relatives, even though they're relatives, can be trusted to remind him and do it honestly. Says the Gemara. Ki hadar av ashi av yidiyele besedusu l'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi saw Edus regarding Rav Kahana. Amalei midochamai hasadasa. Do you remember we were Edim together? Don't you recall what we saw? Amalei loy. Says, I don't remember. Says, v'lav hachi v'hachi havi. Don't you remember this was the story? Amalei loy yadana. I don't remember. L'soif itgar Rav Ashi. At the end, Rav Ashi remembered. Asadlei. So, and he came and said, testimony. Chazir Rav Kahana de Mechamechasis. So he saw that Rav Kahana wasn't happy, because first he wasn't remembering, and all of a sudden he remembered. Amalei misavris alech kasmichna. Do you think that I am relying on you, and I'm just parroting what you told me? That's not an aid. Anor hudu ramoya nafshi. I concentrated until the itkri, I remembered what happened. And that's when a person is to be trusted. There's machloikis exactly what happened here. Some Rishonim say that what happened here was that he didn't say testimony in Beis Din. Because if somebody came into Beis Din and was asked, are you able to say testimony about this and this situation? He says, no, I don't remember. And then he comes in and says, yeah, now I remember. That will be a situation of Kivin Shnigit Shuvei Nechayzer Magid. What happened here was, this was outside of Beis Din. First he was asked to come to Beis Din and say testimony. He says, I can't, I don't remember. Until ultimately he remembered, and then, and only then did he enter Beis Din and say his testimony. Others say, there's a following nafka mina. If the person says to Beis Din that I don't remember, and then afterwards he says I do remember, but he's able to explain what happened, Beis Din will accept if he gives an amasla. But if the person today says I don't know, and all of a sudden tomorrow he does know, that's something Beis Din has to be suspect about. So now the Gemara begins, since we're talking about memory, how long do we remember things and how long don't we remember things? The Gemara discusses that. Tanan Hassan. We learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah Masechta Olos. Hatlulios. Tlulios are such mounds of earth. And as the Chazon Ish explains, there are mounds of earth all over, especially in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about a larger mound where there's a real concern whether there's a nes buried under that mound. So the halach is, Hatlulios akroivis, the ones that are close, and the Gemara will soon define it, bein li'ir, bein l'derech, whether they're close to the city or to the road, the halach is echad chadoshes v'achad yishonos, whether they're new mounds or old mounds, tameos. We have to be concerned that there's a mace, or maybe part of a mace, under that mound. Harechaikos, the ones that are far from the city, chadoshos, the old, new ones are tahayrois, yishanois, but the old ones are tameis. And the Miri asks, don't we have a rule, as we've said so many times, sofik tameh b'rishus harabim star? Whenever we have a sofik tumah, if it's in the rishus harabim, we're mekel. Isn't this in the rishus harabim? So he says, this corroborates what we heard from the Chazon Ish, that these mounds are large enough to be an individual rishus hayochid, and that's why we have the shaila, and the Gemara makes these distinctions. Says the Gemara, Eza Kroiva, what is considered close by? Chamish Mama. Because we're concerned that a woman lost a child, was scared to go out to the cemetery to bury the child, and buried him in this mound quietly. If it was further, as we'll soon learn, a woman is concerned, is scared to walk all the way to the cemetery by herself, so she would have taken along someone else, and then we would know that there's a child buried there. If we don't know, that means nobody's buried there. Eze Yishana, an old mound, there makes no difference where it is. There might have been somebody buried there, and we simply forgot. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Shishim Shana Devar Remeya. Remeya holds that after 60 years, people start to forget. Pretty good. The Rabbeinu Chananel, we're not going to learn with this Pshat, I'm just going to tell you Rabbeinu Chananel's Pshat. Rashi learns, as I just said, till 60 years people remember, after 60 years people start forgetting. Rabbeinu Chananel says, after 60 years people forget that there might have been a city closer or further, there might have been a cemetery here, and that's why people don't remember. Again, we'll learn with Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kroiva means she'en kroiva himeno. There's nothing closer. That means, if there's a mound, according to Rameh, any mound within 50 amis, just to repeat, is considered a close mound, and we have to be concerned that a woman buried her nephil there. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if there's a mound closer to the city than 50 amah, why would she carry it further? Why would she carry the nafil further? She'll bury him there. So that means if there's a mound in less than 50 amma, then we could say that there we don't have to be concerned about any mound past that mound. Yishana, he says, means Shein Adam Zaychra. And again, the Mefarshim try to understand, is Rabbi Yehuda being Mekel or being Machmer versus Rameya? Rameya said 60 years. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on anybody remember or not. So most Rishonim, and this will work with the Gemara, say Rabbi Yehuda is agreeable that 60 years is certainly considered new. Rabbi Yehuda saying is sometimes 60 years is not necessarily old. If you have people with good memories, it could be longer. Says the Gemara, my ear or my derech. What does it mean when the Mishnah said city and road? Elai mi ear mamish doesn't mean if it's close to the city. And derech mamish means it's on the road. Says the Gemara, so that means every road and every city that we have a mound, we have to start being concerned. Says the Gemara, misveika mich nachzikin and tumah. This is Eretz Yisrael. And this was in a time where tumah and tahara were very important parts of their religious experience. We know the Reish Lakish says, Ilu Motz v'Torah Eretz Yisrael. For any excuse to be able to say Eretz Yisrael's tar, we say it's tar. And here we're starting to make all these mounds and all these cities and all these roads tumay. Amrav Zeir, says Rav Zeir, ear means the ear asmuch le Beis HaKfaras. We're only speaking about a city that's near the Beis HaKfaras. And derech, when we speak about a road, we mean derech Beis HaKfaras. Says the Gemara, I can understand why there's a difference between a road near the Beis HaKfaras and a road not near the Beis HaKfaras. Bishlam derech Beis HaKfaras, I could understand the significance of a road leading to Beis HaKfaras. The Zimr the Mesrami Ben Hashmashes. Sometimes it's Friday afternoon. And they're taking the person to be buried in the cemetery, but it becomes Shabbos, and then they realize they're not going to make it. Umekru cover betel, so they just bury him. They make it on the road. So if it's the road to the cemetery, and we see a mound on that road, we have real reason to be concerned that this mound there's a mess under it. El iras muchul basic forest, kula the basic forest asli. Does everybody go to the basic forest? That just because this city has a basic forest, so the entire city and any mound, we're going to stop being machmer? Amar Rav Chanina says Rav Chanina, yes. Metayich shanashim kaiver sham nefleim, as we've been saying, women bury their nefalim. They want to keep it quiet. Umuki shchin is reiseyim, a person that Nebuch is losing limbs of his body, bury his parts there. At chamishim amar, until 50 amas, Ozli is il chudei. She'll walk herself. Or he'll walk herself. Tvei, but more. Nobody, they're frightened to walk themselves. Dabra inish bahador. They'll take somebody along. And once they take somebody along, they're not frightened, they'll walk all the way to the basic forest. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Do people only bury their nephilim and their limbs in cities that have basic forests? If there's a concern that this woman just wants to bury her child, Achman ol Tzlan, quietly, this person wants to bury his limb quietly, so that happens, unfortunately, it could happen in any city. Why is it only talking about an ear with a Beis HaKfaras? So Rishonim say a big chiddush. They say, and again, it goes back to something that we've said many times. People in those days lived with a very big awareness of Tum and Tahara. So somebody's living in a city where there's a basic forest, so they know the people there are on guard for Tumah Tahara. But when you live in a city that didn't have a basic forest, these people are very careful not to make the city Tumah, because people are careful about Tumah. The Shvus Yankov discusses, La'aloch L'maisa, what is the din about the limbs of a person? If a live person, Rahman Tzlan, has a limb that falls off or is amputated, what is the halacha? So the halacha is that it gives off tumah, as our Gemara clearly indicates. It does not give off tumas oil under all circumstances. It depends how much was there. This is a very relevant shaila. If a person is a kayan and a limb is being brought in for dissection or analysis, does it give off tumas oil? The Shvus Yaakov says a very big chiddush. He says that even though it gives off tumah, there is no chiyuv kvura only in a person who dies. If a limb, when we're machmer, that if a limb falls off, rachman al tzlan, we bury it. But he says the chiyuv kvura is only when a person passes away, not when a limb falls off. He says the the fact that it gives off tuma does not travel together with the fact that it requires kfura. Hilchach tuma betusrol lamechzikinim. We're not saying that it's tuma only under these circumstances. Amar chizda. Now we bring this back to our sugya. Shema min amrimeya, based on what we learned. Hai sadusa. If somebody says edus at shitin shonen until 60 years. We could assume Mitger, he remembers. Tfeilah Mitger, because Ramey says the people remember up to 60 years. Says the Gemara V'lohi. But that's incorrect. Hossam, the Relay Amulei. If somebody was buried in a city, somebody buried somebody, so it has nothing to do with me, so I never really paid attention. Avhocha, Kiva de Ramelei, Afila Tuvanami. Since it's something I was appointed as a witness, so there I'll remember even past 60 years. And we have a Machlokes Rishonim how to interpret this. Some Rishonim interpret it strictly, that if somebody was appointed as an aide, so there was a job given to him, you be a witness, remember, and he'll remember it past 60 years. But if he wasn't appointed as an aide, he happened to have witnessed something, they'll only remember up to 60 years. Other Rishonim are more makel, and they say, if there was something that I didn't even know or see about, I just might have heard about, there we say that till 60 years I'll remember, after 60 years I won't. But let's say I was at a wedding. A real halacha l'maaseh shaila. I wasn't appointed to be a witness, but I sat and I saw. There those Rishonim say that I'll remember even past 60 years. Halavai.